This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, October 12, 2006. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, the problem with poets. We're going back in time for this week's podcast, way back to February 2006. That month in San Francisco, City Arts and Lectures presented an evening of conversation and poetry with Billy Collins and Kay Ryan, hosted by Garrison Keillor. Billy Collins is one of America's most popular poets. His books routinely break sales records for poetry. He lives in Westchester County, New York, and is not ashamed to call himself a suburban poet. Kay Ryan, who lives in Northern California, was the winner of the Poetry Foundation's 2004 Ruth Lilly Prize. Both poets are known and loved for their charm and wit, on the page and in person. For the podcast today, I'd like to play two excerpts from that evening. This first begins with a reading by Kay Ryan, followed by some comments on her poems by Billy Collins.
This is actually called Turtle, and it comes from a period of frustration. Fortunately, it was an extremely long period, so that I was able to really refine the emotions expressed in this poem. And it is, I think you'll see that the language is very packed, and the images are all smashed together, and the rhymes are all really, really tight and over each other. And I think that has something to do with the quantity of frustration that was the source of the poem. I hope I haven't ruined it for you. Who would be a turtle who could help it? A barely mobile hard roll, a four-oared helmet. She can ill afford the chances she must take in rowing toward the grasses that she eats. Her track is graceless, like dragging a packing case places, and almost any slope defeats her modest hopes. Even being practical, she's often stuck up to the axle on her way to something edible. With everything optimal, she skirts the ditch which would convert her shell into a serving dish. She lives below luck level, never imagining some lottery will change her load of pottery to wings. Her only levity is patience, the sport of truly chastened things.
I love that rowing, a turtle rowing. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
And the little oars coming out of its body.
I want you to dwell for a moment on a four-oared, and then in the next rhyme, it's rhymes with my very best rhyme of my whole life, which is the reason I bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
She can ill afford.
Yeah.
A four-oared afford.
Right.
One word and three words. I mean, I'm thrilled. No, that's some things you just don't get over, you know? Mm. You know that feeling?
We're glad that it made you happy. That's good.
Poetry keeps driving you, the reader, back into itself. You know, I mean, that's...
That's a nice point.
You know, prose is kind of continuous, you know, just goes on and on and fills up the space. But poetry is, because it doesn't... Poets are sort of like prose avoidance systems, because we have to... We have to turn back before we get to the edge of the page. Otherwise, we're just writing, you know, we're Stephen King or somebody. So we have to turn back all the time. And that even that turning back is turning the attention back into the poem. And then all of these internal rhymes. You know, some people think that when poetry discovered it could get away without end rhyme, right, basically with Whitman, people think that the poets just sort of scissored off the right side of the poem and
just got rid of the rhymes.
Say the hell with the rhymes. Yeah. We don't have to rhyme anymore. But what actually happened in the best poets, and Kay Ryan is the exemplar of that, is that the rhymes went inside the poem. They infiltrated the poem. And you are a rhyming poet. You don't use end rhyme, I don't think, or generally. But you are a rhymester, but it's all internalized.
Billy Collins with Kay Ryan. A little later in the evening, Garrison Keillor, the host of the public radio shows A Prairie Home Companion and The Writer's Almanac, complained about the type of poet that he says doesn't seem to respect readers. Here's the second and last excerpt, which includes a short poem by Kay Ryan and a long one by Billy Collins.
Whereas when I think of poets, I mean, there are poets I love, including, of course, the two of you. But when I think of poets and think of my encounters with poets, if I may speak for the American people now.
Why not?
There is a sort of irritating arrogance on the part of poets that here we are, they're readers, we're here, we're poised over the page, and they ignore us. They do not pay us any heed, and this is rude. They don't talk to us. They put on a poetry show in which they pretend to be disconnected, and they pretend to be hysterical. They pretend to be in the grip of their own feelings.
You're not talking about us.
No,
no,
of course not.
Yeah, yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Because we are.
Because we don't like those either,
yeah.
Right?
We're challenged when it comes to psychic pain. You won't get much psychic pain from us.
But, you know, I agree with what you're saying, there is a lot of imitation poetry, saying, I am writing poetry, and it doesn't pay the reader. I mean, it doesn't,
yeah.
you read it and all it's doing is just getting off on itself.
Mm.
And it isn't remembering that it has got to give pleasure and that it's got to give satisfaction. That it's got to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that there are myriad ways to do it, but you've got to give people something all the time. You've got to earn their attention.
Well, then do it.
Do it.
Yeah,
do it,
right
do it
now.
Kay.
Do
it.
Do it right now, Kay.
Okay.
Why don't you read a poem, and Billy is going to be reminded, as he listens to it, of a poem of his.
I'm going to read a very short poem, which is dedicated to W.G. Sebald, the great German writer of Austerlitz and the Rings of Saturn, who died prematurely a few years ago. His patron saint was Saint Sibolt, whom he writes about in one of his books. And among this saint, a Danish king, by the way, among his miracles was the fact that he lit a fire with icicles. And this is a little poem about that. This was the work of Saint Sibolt, one of his miracles. He lit a fire with icicles. He struck them like a steel to flint, did Saint Sibolt. It makes sense only at a certain body heat. How cold he had to get to learn that ice would burn. How cold he had to stay. When he could feel his feet, he had to back away.
Because we've been talking about poetry and prose, I guess I have a public stance against prose. Of course, I read prose all the time, but prose is partly responsible for plowing poetry under in recent centuries. But I'm going to tentatively agree with Garrison by reading this poem called The Trouble with Poetry. The trouble with poetry, I realized as I walked along a beach one night, cold Florida sand under my bare feet, a show of stars in the sky. The trouble with poetry is that it encourages the writing of more poetry, more guppies crowding the fish tank, more baby rabbits hopping out of their mothers into the dewy grass. And how will it ever end unless the day finally arrives when we have compared everything in the world to everything else in the world? And there is nothing left to do then but quietly close our notebooks and sit with our hands folded on our desks. Poetry fills me with joy, and I rise like a feather in the wind. Poetry fills me with sorrow, and I sink like a chain flung from a bridge. But mostly, poetry fills me with the urge to write poetry, to sit in the dark and wait for a little flame to appear at the tip of my pencil. And along with that, the longing to steal, to break into the poems of others with a flashlight and a ski mask. And what an unmerry band of thieves we are. Cut purses, common shoplifters, I thought to myself, as a cold wave swirled around my feet and the lighthouse moved its megaphone over the sea, which is an image I stole directly from Lawrence Ferlinghetti. To be perfectly honest for a moment, the bicycling poet of San Francisco, whose little amusement park of a book I used to carry in a side pocket of my uniform up and down the treacherous halls of high school.
Billy Collins reading his poem, The Trouble with Poetry, at the Herbst Theater in San Francisco last February 15th. The evening was part of the literary series City Arts and Lectures. You can read more poems by both Billy Collins and Kay Ryan on our website, poetryfoundation.org. As always, we'd love to hear what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the poetryfoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.